always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Man, I told you it was a busy show today.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of important folks joining us today. We had Representative Justin Sparks with us a little bit earlier. Just wrapped up a conversation with the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, Andrew Bailey. Great stuff in that interview. And now we continue with the cleanup hitter of Murderers Row, Dr. Randy Tobler. Joins us as he does at this time every Thursday. Doc, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Hey, you shouldn't make me follow Andrew Bailey. That's not fair.
I'll tell you what, we got through a lot with the Attorney General this afternoon, and great information on several things. The investigation into the situation at Hazelwood East, we talked to him about that. The breaking news this week about Missouri and Kansas teaming up with a couple of other states to fight back against Joe Biden's latest attempt to repay student loan debt. And then, of course, the big tech censorship case that was recently at the Supreme Court that we here at News Talk STL are a part of, because you know we submitted evidence and information about the censorship that we experienced here, Doc, to that case. I don't know that people in Missouri realize, and you know it's not their fault, because why, you know, not everybody has time to keep up with news and politics like we do here. But Missouri is lucky to have, I think, such an active attorney general. We've had that for a while with Andrew Bailey and Eric Schmidt and even Josh Hawley before that. It's atypical for an attorney general to be as aggressive and active, particularly in national politics, as we have here with Andrew Bailey in the state of Missouri, is it not?
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, our attorneys general have been criticized as being too assertive and too aggressive in the name of political ambition. But when you look at what they're actually doing, it seems actually constitutionally aggressive, which is exactly what you want an attorney general to do. You know, we had him on our program in Columbia a couple of days ago, and actually it was yesterday. And I asked him, because there was a case where he actually sued a guy, you know, because he, you know, a lot of people say, oh, high profile stuff, just trying to get some, you know, some airplay and so forth. Well, there was a story in mid-Missouri that he sued some contractor who had, you know, not, you know, taken the money, started jobs and not finishing them. It was a matter of a few thousand bucks, which is not chump change for anyone. But I mean, it wasn't a high profile, big Supreme Court case. And his answer was, well, we're just upholding the law. We found some merchant act, you know, that applies here. And the guy didn't deliver the goods he was said he was going to deliver. And so that to me just, I think, speaks to the broad scope and sort of erodes those criticisms that he and others like him in, you know, Louisiana and others, where there's sort of this coalition,
Texas,
of constitutionally minded AGs. I'm thankful for them.
Yeah. I've made the joke before that it always seems like if you're reading a story about state attorneys general, it's always Missouri and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's always, you know, Missouri and Texas are leading a group of 20 states. It's always Missouri and Texas that are at the top of the headlines. Doc, I wanted to dig further into a story that we actually touched on earlier with Representative Justin Sparks. Of course, State Rep Justin Sparks was a police officer before he became a representative. So obviously he has a lot of good information on this as well. But I wanted to dig a little bit deeper into the situation that's happening in New York. Police officer, the union up there, the Sergeants Union, New York Police Department Sergeants Union, sent out a letter telling anti-police Democrats to stay away from the funeral of police officer Jonathan Diller. Jonathan Diller was a 31-year-old father who died on Monday of this week after a violent ex-con with 21 prior arrests, shot him in the stomach when police approached the car where the suspect was sitting in the passenger seat. The New York Police Department Sergeants Benelfin Association sent a damning letter calling out far-left Democrat leaders in New York City for their anti-police and soft-on-crime politics, telling them to stay away from the funeral. The letter, written by the union's president, said, quote, "I am sure many elected officials will attend P.O. Diller's funeral, shed a few crocodile tears, and prominently seat themselves for a good photo opportunity. The sad reality is we don't want them there." They go on. He goes on in this letter to say, quote, "Their presence is more than a distraction. It's a stain on the legacy of the true hero who made the ultimate sacrifice, as well as the scores dedicated and committed public servants who will carry on his mission despite their constant criticism, cynicism, negativity, and frivolous accusations." He said that they should stay home, quote, "they should stay home and not pretend they are grieving." Strong words targeted at Democrat politicians in the state of New York. But I think that, especially after talking to Justin Sparks, that is the feeling that exists throughout many law enforcement departments across the country. And on the other side of the coin, they actually invited Donald Trump, who came and spoke and said he was honored to be there. I don't know. To me, Doc, this story really encompasses the law enforcement perspective as we go into such an important election this year in 2024. What do you think?
No, you're right. And you know, you think about it. This issue about urban, especially urban policing and the disrespect for it and the lawlessness that results from it. You look at the lawlessness in terms of a due process and a balanced legal system in a civil court system. Look at what's going on with the Stormy Daniels thing and the so-called civil fraud with Donald Trump. And then you look at what's going on in the border. And I think if you tie these three together, just from a public policy and a general philosophy of how is America choosing to be governed and ruled, and what does it expect out of its government? The government is failing on many levels when it just comes to the broad umbrella category of lawlessness. It is not being applied equally. People like attorneys general that want to apply the law right, people that would like to think that if you're going to prosecute Donald Trump for overvaluing property, maybe you'll prosecute John Stewart for overvaluing his property. Maybe you'll secure the border if you believe that law and order means anything, but there's just an uneven application and an uneven appreciation for the rule of law. They like to give it lip service, just as this sergeant's union guy said, right? You guys give it lip service, but you know, put your actions where your mouth are. And I think it's a powerful trifecta, you know, the border, the thin blue line, and then of course the civil, two-tiered system we have. Well, now it's criminal and civil two-tiered system. That is a powerful indictment against Democrat progressive rule in this country at all levels. And I hope that the Republicans make a big, big, big deal out of it every time they have a chance. You know, if those Democrats show up to that funeral, I hope that someone on that's speaking has the chutzpah to call them out. I don't know. It's a bit risky, perhaps. Maybe with the permission of the family ahead of time, say, look, if they show up dishonoring your fallen, you know, brother, husband, dad, son, you know, whatever, do we have permission to call them out and shame them for the embarrassment they are?
Dr. Tobler, it's interesting because on this other end of the spectrum, we have Biden in New York City today with his pals Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. They're both rallying around him for a fundraising event in New York City. He's hoping on a prayer that they can help him with his campaign. Do you think something like that is possible when Joe Biden asks the help of his two former friends, Barack Obama and Bill Clinton?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, he needs all the help he can get, and I imagine they're really having to hold their nose to do that, because neither of them are fond of right. Joe Biden, you know? Right. And can you imagine the protests that are going to result? I mean, given the big, you know, pushback against any pro-Israeli little tepid policy he had for a month or so, I don't know, it could get ugly there, you know? I mean, this could turn into a really ugly scene. But I don't know. I'm thinking maybe we could do a GoFundMe and take the News Talk group up, because it's only $250,000 to have your picture taken with the three of them.
Goodness.
Sounds like it's worth it to me, doesn't it to you?
Joe Rush has got that money in the cushions of his office couch. We could definitely scrape that together.
Well, yeah, all Joe has to do is just ask for a little payout from China and have him deposit it in his account.
Hey, Doc, you touched on something a second ago that really I think is something that people need to think about going into this election year. It seems like with how bad the path the country is on, just what a terrible president Joe Biden is, it's getting harder and harder to even find Democrats that have good things to say about this president. It seems like a year that should be a slam dunk victory across the board for Republicans. However,
and yet,
if you look at what's happening with Republicans, and this is the story that you know, like, grab my attention for the point I'm making. There's headlines this week all about the impeachment hearings for Attorney General Garland and how the Republicans are, you know, so I see a headline that says, you know, that the House GOP is threatening to hold Garland in contempt of Congress. And my unconscious reaction to that is like, oh, good. I want to read this story and see what they're going to do to hold Garland accountable. But then immediately the other voices in my head say, why would you trust this Republican Party to get anything done? Why would you trust them to be on the same page to get anything accomplished? I feel like the Republicans right now have a golden opportunity in front of them and are fumbling the ball right now. Do you feel that same way?
I don't think they're fumbling the ball as much as being responsive to their electorate. And let me explain.
Yeah.
In the past few weeks, I've interviewed Eric Schmidt. This morning, I interviewed Mark Alford, and both times I wouldn't say I was disappointed, but it helped me really solidify my thoughts that they're only responding with as much conservatism as their reelection would allow. I asked Mark Alford was talking this morning about, and I really am fond of Mark. I'm fond of Eric Schmidt. I mean, I think they do a great job. But I've asked both of them in different ways. This morning it was about the Small Business Administration. Mark Alford's on that committee. He went, he just wanted to go and see what they're doing in the SBA building up in D.C. He found out like 5 of 7 or 7 of 9 floors in this big albatross of a building are unoccupied because people are doing remote work, and yet they're paying, you know, scads of money to maintain it and blah, blah, blah. So it's one of those waste and efficiency. And then I asked him the question, but what about the larger question? Why do we need an SBA? Where is that in the 18 enumerated powers of the Constitution? You know, and it throws him a little bit of a curveball, and I say it with respect. But the answer was, well, you know, it's not just about handing out money to people, and, you know, the veterans need help starting a business. And then I thought to myself, after he was off the air, I said, why does a veteran need a help to start a small business? Don't we all tend to want to buy things from veterans' businesses? And if we're going to help them, wouldn't the people in Missouri keeping their own money rather than taking the circuitous route through D.C. with the federal bureaucracy carve out and then give a little bit back to us? I mean, couldn't we do a better job if we chose us 50 sovereign states to support the businesses that best fit our business environment and our veteran community? Mm-hmm. It's not about supporting veterans, it's about who should be doing it. And Eric Schmidt said the same thing. It was about a separate issue. And I didn't mean to, it's not meant to be an insult or a gotcha, but it's to get them to think and get all of us to maybe realize that the reason it's, to answer your question, the reason things are so close right now is everyone's ox is in the pen. And I mean, every voter's ox is in the pen. Mm-hmm. We all depend on federal government some way. We will someday. And so no one's ox wants to be gored, and the politicians know that. So people like Rand Paul, they talk a good game, and we love hearing them, and they I mean, I wish we had 535 Rand Pauls. This country would turn around in 6 months.
but no argument for me on that.
The electorate is not where we would like them to be. And that really then circles back to the abortion issue, right? We'd all wish that there were just no abortions. Maybe we could talk about exceptions for rape, incest. Okay. But we're not even there. The country isn't there. If the country was truly a constitutionally conservative country, it wouldn't be close. It wouldn't be close right now. And the generic Republican-Democrat score would be widely. There'd be a huge gap there. But people have come to realize that government is the answer to our problems. And now even our so-called conservative politicians, you know, how much can you lead when you need to look for re-election to do any kind of governing in a conservative way? But the conservatism is shackled by what has become. We're all socialists now. It's just a matter of are you a Republican who realizes we can just maybe do big government a little better? Are you a true constitutional libertarian, constitutional republic of 50 states with limited federal government? Conservatives. There's very few of those.
Yeah.
Very few of those.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, about the about Washington, D.C. more than I was local politics and the idea of I'm supposed to listen to your plan for impeachment of A.G. Garland when the next headline is talking about how the Republicans, you know, could be voting to remove the Speaker of the House again. Like, you know,
it's maybe I missed the ball in your question.
No, not at all. I think you made a great point.
It's great to grandstand about and talk about limiting government and cutting taxes and cutting spending. It never happens. They cut spending on the margins. The Republicans will cut spending by cutting off shrimp and on treadmill funding. That's not going to balance the budget. It's not going to fix the problem. We need some serious fixes that take serious courage and ask the people with a serious explanation for everyone to take a haircut. I mean, that's what it's going to amount to, or at least, you know, the programs have to change. But why are we waste? I'm to the point where I'm tired of impeachment hearings. I'm tired of personal attacks. And these people are wrong. Fauci was wrong. Mayorkas is wrong. Everyone's wrong. I'm a love the sinner, hate the sin guy. And if you apply that to politics, Americans get tired on either side of the fence, I think, of the personal attacks. Yeah, Mayorkas is a buffoon. He's an idiot. Why don't we just keep talking policy? Policy, policy, policy. Yeah. Hey, do you like the Democrat policy of keeping the borders open and sacrificing your jobs and leading to lawlessness and the murder of young co-eds trying to take a run? Oops, I said co-ed. That really ages me. I'm sorry about that. We need to really be talking in big, lofty, aspirational terms. We need to say, hey, Mayorkas Schmorkas, he can be out of here in 6 months, guys. Make the vote for us. And, you know, it'll be a policy matter with us. We're not going to worry about those Democrats and their crazy people.
Yeah, that's definitely one way to the right policy. Yeah, that's definitely one way to remove them from their job. We are in an election year, so the voters have that opportunity and don't necessarily need Congress to do it at this moment. I think that's a really good point. Dr. Randy Tobler, really appreciate your time. As always, you can hear Doc every Thursday with us here on Colombo and Katie, every Saturday from 6 a.m. till 9 a.m. here on News Talk STL and every morning at the Eagle there in Columbia, Missouri. Doc, the busiest man in radio and medicine, really appreciate your time as always, my friend. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Thank you. You too. Right,
thanks. Great stuff there from Dr. Randy Tobler. All right. I got there's a new poll out that is another more bad news for President Biden. Him trying to present himself as a devout Catholic, no longer working with the American voter, according to this new poll. I'm going to talk about that and much more as we go through a busy Thursday afternoon here on Colombo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Colombo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Katie wasn't here yesterday, and we were just talking off the air about the squatters situation that continues to be such a big deal. I talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I want to continue that conversation here in a minute. I wanted to read this poll that I just mentioned. So Joe Biden's description of himself as a devout Catholic who attends church regularly, that he has been, you know, putting out on the voter and claiming for ever, was just put to the test by a new Pew Research poll that found that just 13% of Americans think Biden is, quote, a very religious person.
Yeah. Just nobody thinks it.
Nobody is buying.
Say with Pelosi.
The president's claim of being a devout Catholic anymore. And I thought that was super interesting, especially since that is something that he relies so heavily on when he's campaigning for an
office.
So, yeah, people are not buying it anymore. I know that this morning, Mike Ferguson, we talk about make sure you subscribe to the Columbo and Katie podcast. Make sure you subscribe to all the show podcasts in case you miss any of the great conversations that we have here across the board. You can find all our show podcasts on basically every podcast platform. So make sure you're subscribed. And if you missed it this morning, Mike Ferguson was talking to Bill Igel about the squatters situation that if you missed yesterday, we talked about it a little bit. There's this new pattern by illegal immigrants to find vacant homes, squat in them, claim squatters' rights, and in some cases be able to sell that home and make money off of it or turn it into their permanent residence. And do we have that clip?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but if you have it, Senator Bill Igel was talking about his plans going forward to make sure that that is something that cannot happen in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. So let's hear this real quick.
Saying, you know what? We're not going to make people. So we were talking a little bit earlier about what happened in Florida with the legislature and Governor DeSantis signing this, you know, what I would call a true property rights bill, anti-squatters bill into place, saying, you know what? We're not going to make people go through the civil courts and all this kind of stuff. So I had somebody sending me a message saying, hey, could you ask Bill Igel, would you be supportive? And is there an appetite in the Missouri legislature at some point to say, let's do what Florida did and hit the squatters thing head on?
Yeah, so great question. And so first of all, my answer, would I support something like that? Yes, 110% I would support something like that. In fact, I'm going to be working to get the exact same language that Florida just passed. And we're going to see if we can't find a vehicle in the final 7 weeks of session to add that to a bill to see if we can't get that done as well.
Yeah, that's a big issue that I think caught a lot of people off guard. This is not something that has been in the news in the past or been an issue in the past. And all of a sudden there's this, as we mentioned yesterday, there's this one particular illegal alien that has made money off of social media and has over 500,000 social media followers. He has a video that's got 4 million views about that's basically teaches illegal immigrants how to take advantage of loopholes in the law and to squat on a property and then maybe even eventually sell that property because you can take legal ownership of it. It's wild. And it's something that is, if you don't get ahead of it and this gets out of control, you know, you don't want the law to be playing catch up in a situation like this.
It's just like everything else, though. It's no one forecasted that we would be having thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of people entering the country every month. No one forecasted that hotel rooms, 5-star Hiltons, would be consumed and taken up in New York City by illegal immigrants, kicking out homeless people from veteran areas. And this is one of those other things. This is part of that ripple effect that happens when we talk about illegal immigration. It's not just things happening at the border, and it's not just illegal immigrants being flown out on our taxpayer money to the Midwest, to Missouri, to wherever. It's also this situation where now we have illegal immigrants emboldened, feeling like they can actually start teaching other people, whether they be homeless Americans or illegal immigrants to go to houses. And as you just pointed out, they don't necessarily have to be abandoned. There's houses that are being overtaken because there's a transition happening. Mm-hmm. Vacation homes
that don't have people living in them full time. It looks like they're abandoned. They're empty for a period of time. All of a sudden, somebody's just
posted
moving
up,
in.
Posted up, taken. And now what's even crazier about this situation is that, so we're seeing that happen, a guy getting famous on TikTok because he feels like he can, because he's emboldened, because no one's going to stop him.
Yeah. And he's right. He has gotten famous on TikTok.
But then we're also seeing these homeowners that are trying to take back their home from the squatters, and they're getting the red tape. They're getting the red lines. They're not having people on their side. So they have to go through the legal system to try to get the squatters out.
Yeah. Which should not be... It should not be on the legal owner of the property. It should not be their burden to prove everything.
It's crazy.
It should not be their burden to fight to keep their own property. It's so backwards.
I think I read a headline on Fox News, the homepage today, where the word like tricked was actually involved, of the legal homeowners having to trick the squatters into leaving the home that they were squatting in. And I'm like, how is this happening?
It's wild. And like I said, it's been an issue that has come out of nowhere. This is not something that has been talked about before.
Squatters' rights?
Yeah.
I had never heard of squatters' rights in the last 3 years.
That's all I have, talk about. But it's never been something that's been at the top of the political news cycle like it is now, and something that people have got to get ahead of. So I completely agree with Senator Igel and hope that he and everyone else that has every other lawmaker in the state of Missouri or person running for office in the state of Missouri has the same plans, because you got to get ahead of this before it gets out of control. All right, that is going to do it for Columbo and Katie this afternoon. As I mentioned, make sure you are subscribed to our podcast. We put the show out as a podcast right after we get off every day, so you never have to miss anything that happens here on the show. It's on basically every podcast platform, so whatever your favorite podcast platform is, make sure you subscribe to Columbo and Katie. And keep it right here for the O'Reilly Report next, then the Tim Jones and Chris Arps Show. And thank you so much for listening to us and supporting us here at 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.